Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Pei Hey. We are holding on Daf Pei Dalaram Beis, about 9 lines from the end of the page, at the 2 dots on Pei Dalaram Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha La Shalom, also sponsored by Yael and Yosef Gurevich, in appreciation of their children's Rebbeim and Marot, also sponsored by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer, in honor and appreciation to the Shir, and in commemoration of the yard sites in Teves of his mother, Rachel Bas Yisachar, Zichrona Levracha, and his wife, Hindel Bas El Yakim HaKohen, Zichrona Levracha, the Neshamas Shavon Aliyah. It's also sponsored by David Ham, in honor of his wife, Margie, whose birthday is this week. Happy birthday. It's also sponsored for Rafua Shlema for Esther Basara by the Lightman family, and finally sponsored for Rafua Shlema to our dear friend Shmaryahu Ben Rezel Shoshana Miriam Shlev Rafua Shlema Besoch Shar Cholei Yisrael. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. The Gemara is going to raise a stira within our Mishnah whether Tova Sana'a is considered to be Mamon or is not considered to be Mamon. We're going to have two ways of resolving that stira, whether Tova Sana'a is Mamon or not, and that conversation is going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Aleph. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about a woman who takes a neder that prohibits Maisa Yodeha, whether it's a neder that prohibits Maisa Yodeha on other people, a neder that prohibits Maisa Yodeha on her husband. So is the neder Chal? If it is Chal, does it require Afara? Can the husband be made for such a neder? So what are the rules of a neder that prohibits Maisa Yodeha? We're going to have several shitos of Tanoim that appear in the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to tell us what Shmuel's psak is in terms of the machlokas Tanoim in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to raise a stira in Shita Shmuel. What does Shmuel hold in general about Davar Shalaba Liolam? Based on his psak of our Mishnah, he seems to hold one thing, but elsewhere he seems to hold something else. A stira in what Shmuel's Shita is about Davar Shalaba Liolam. Within our daf, we're going to have three possible answers to that stira in Shmuel about Davar Shalom Bali Olam. I think there might be a fourth answer in tomorrow's daf, but three answers in today's daf about Davar Shalom Bali Olam. So essentially, the two major conversations are two stiras. A stira within our Mishnah about Tovas Hana'a Mamon Reina Mamon, and then a stira in Shmuel, whether Davar Shalom Bali Olam, whether Davar Shalom Bali Olam is subject to transactions, to chalos of an isser, like a neder or a hektish or something like that. So let's begin at the two. That's about nine lines from the end of the page. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah told us Kohanim Leviim Nenim Li Yitlu, that if a person takes a neder ana, the Kohanim and Leviim are not allowed to get ana from him. The Kohanim and Leviim could take their matanos bal karcho, they could take their chumas and maestros against his will. They could just go grab it. But if he says Kohanim Elu Leviim Elu Nenim Li, if he gets more specific and he identifies particular Kohanim and Leviim that are not allowed to get Hana from him, so then only other Kohanim are allowed to get Trumas and Maestros from him, but those Kohanim that he had identified as having an Issur to get from him are not allowed to get from him. So ask the Gemara, we have a Stira from the Resha to the Seifa, when the Mishnah says that someone who asks Hana on all Kohanim and Leviim, they're still allowed to take Trumas and Maestros. Sa'alma Tovas Hana'a Eino Mamon. You see that clearly the assumption is that Tovas Hana'a, the idea that the Yisrael's bailus over the Truma is simply one of Tovas Hana'a, that he gets to choose which Kohen he gives it to. And apparently that's not considered Mamon, because if that was considered Mamon, then no Kohanim would be allowed to take Truma when he assured all of his Mamon on Kohanim. So it must be that the Tovas Hana'a, his rights in the Truma, are not considered Mamon, and that's why they're allowed to take. But then the Mishnah went on to say that Kohanim Elu, Leviim Elu Nenim Li, that if he identifies particular Kohanim, particular Leviim that are not allowed to get on off from him, Yitla Cherim, let other Kohanim and Leviim take from him. Avalahani lo, but those Kohanim that he asered b'ana are not allowed to take Trumas and Maestros. What does that tell you? Alma, Tovas Hana Mamon. That seems to indicate that Tovas Hana is Mamon, and therefore his rights in those Trumas is considered Mamon. So if he asered Kohanim Elu, Leviim Elu, they're not allowed to take from him because that's taking his Mamon. So you have a stira within one line of our Mishnah whether Tovas Hana is considered Mamon or not considered Mammon. The Achronim raised the question, why didn't we ask from the beginning of the Mishnah? Meaning, you don't have to ask a stira within the Seifa, you could ask a stira between the Reisha and the Seifa. Because the beginning of the Mishnah said that if a woman takes a Neder Hana'a from Brios, she's not allowed to get Hana'a from Maiser Ani. So Rava explained the reason was because we're talking about that the Bailam has Tovas Hana'a in Chalukas HaMaiser Ani. The Bailam has a Tovas Hana'a of deciding which Ani to give it to. And Tovas Hana'a is apparently therefore considered Mammon. So you want to find a place where it says that Tovas Hana'a is Mammon. You don't need Kohanim Elu Leviim Elu. Just go to the Reisha of the Mishnah. And right then you already have a Stira. Why wait to point out the Stira till that last line? You already have a Stira earlier on. So the Arsameach in Hilchos Chiyum Matana, Perek Yud Aleph, suggests that since the woman, when she takes a neder, that she's not going to get any hana'a from brios, she intends to aser even this kind of hana'a, that she's not going to get maaser ani from the brios either. See, even though legabe everything else in the world, we would say tovas hana'a is ein mamon, since belashon b'nei adam, getting maaser ani is considered to be hana'a, because the bailim have zechus to choose who they're going to give the maaser ani to, the woman is able to aser such hana'a on herself. But a person who asers on other people, on Kohanim, on Leviim, he asers them from getting Hana'a from him, so then only if Tovas Hana'a is Mammon is he authorized to aser, is he capable of asering them from getting Hana'a from those Matanos. But if Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mammon, then the entire Hana'a is Shalom Makabel, and the Balabais doesn't have any jurisdiction over this. He doesn't have the right to control what Hana'a somebody else is going to give, and that's why it's not a stira, because in the Reisha and the Mishnah, the woman asked herself, so she could ask her whatever she wants for herself, things that are mammon, things that are not mammon, she could ask her whatever. But if it comes to asking something on somebody else, you can only ask her that which is your mammon on somebody else. If something is not your mammon, you're not able to ask her that on somebody else. That's what the Osamech explains, that the stira has to appear within the context of asking on somebody else. Because whenever it talks about a neder of asking on yourself, it could be that regardless of tovasana mammon or ain mammon, you have increased ability and jurisdiction over the right to prohibit something. So Karen Ora and the Nidre's reason raised the question that even if Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mammon, but the Gemara learns from a pasuk in Maseches Chulin, the Gemara learns from a pasuk V'nasan LaKohen Azra'a L'Chaim V'Akeva, that the Kohen is not allowed to take the Matanos on his own, the Balabais has to give it to him. So if that's the case, the Kohen is Nenah from the fact that the Balabais is Dafka choosing him to give him the Matanos. So even if Tovas Hana'a is not Mammon, it should be also for the Mudar to get these Matanos. So the Karen Ora says, no, if Tovas Hana'a is not Mammon, so when the Matanos are given to that Kohen, it's considered that you're giving the Kohen that which is already his. He's not getting anything from you. Or the way Rav Shlomo Zalman explains, that it could be that you aser the Kohanim only to get Hana'a from your Mammon, but not to get Hana'a from you. So yeah, when you choose to give to the Kohen, he's getting Hana'a from you, but he's not getting Hana'a from your Mammon, and therefore it's not considered part of that neder. But bottom line is, in the context of our Gemara, we have a stira. We have a stira in the Mishnah, is Tovas Hana'a Mammon, is Tovas Hana'a not Mammon. So the Gemara tries to suggest at first, not a stira, machlokas, that the two lines in our Mishnah reflect two different opinions in Tanayim. So Amar Rav Hoshaya lo kasha. Don't ask a stira from one line of the Mishnah to the next, because the Mishnah is reflecting two shitos. Har Rebbe, the sefer that says that Tovas Hana'a is considered mammon, follows the shita of Rebbe. Vahar Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, and the reisha that implies that Tovas Hana'a is not mammon, follows the shita of Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Where do we find that there's a machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, whether Tovas Hana'a is mammon or lav mammon? Titanya, we have it in the following brisa. Hamzri Nidre's reason raises the question that since we're going to have to say that the Mishnah is following two different Tanaim according to Rav Hoshaya, why in the Reisha does it say that you ask for kol kohanim alav and then the safest kohanim elu leviim elu? Meaning it's not really about that. Meaning we had these two cases where you ask for all kohanim from getting on, then we said okay, they're allowed to take Jerusalem Isis, but if you ask for kohanim elu leviim elu, they're not. But it's not really about a difference between kol kohanim versus
Kohanim Elu V'yam Elu. It's just two different shittos about Tovas Hanah Mamon. Meaning, if you hold that Tovas Hanah is Mamon, whether you ask for Kol Kohanim, whether you ask for Kohanim Elu, L'V'yam Elu, nobody's allowed to take the Chumas HaMaisos. And if you hold Tovas Hanah Eino Mamon, whether you ask for Kol Kohanim, whether you ask for Kohanim Elu, L'V'yam Elu, everybody's allowed to take the Chumas HaMaisos. So it's a strong kasha. Nidre's reason asks that according to Rav Hoshaya, that the stira could be resolved by saying, oh, reflects two different shittos in Tanaim. The better way to reflect two different shittos in Tanaim is by keeping the case exactly the same and showing that there's one shita that says this way and one shita that says that way. So it's a strong kasha. But anyway, where do we find such a machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Tovas Hanah Mamon or Eino Mamon? They don't exactly spell it out that this is what they're arguing about, but the Braisa says the following. Hagonev tivlo shel chavero. Let's say a person steals his friend's grain when it's still tevel. So Trumas and Maisos have not been designated or separated from this grain. And then the ganav eats the tevel. So how much does he owe? Does he owe only the amount that the bailum would have ended up with post-tax, meaning post-trumas ha-maisos? Or does he owe the full amount of the tevel? So mishalim lo demei tivlo divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says you have to pay the full amount of the tevel, and inclusive of the value of the trumas ha-maisos. What does that mean, inclusive of the value? That for sure the guy was not going to be able to have, right? I mean, the guy you stole it from, he may have had Tovas Hana'a on the Trumas HaMaisos, which is that there's some monetary value assigned to the ability to choose the destination of this Trumas HaMaisos, but he certainly doesn't have the full rights in the Trumas HaMaisos. So that's what the Ran says, that when Rebbe says, Mishalim Lo Dmei Tivlo, what he means is, the amount that would have ended up being Chulin, you pay full value for. The amount that would have been Trumas HaMaisos, you pay Kifi Shivoy HaTovas Hana'a, meaning whatever the value of being able to choose who you give it to is. So there is some monetary value to that. So if it's $100 of produce, the monetary value of being able to choose maybe $5. So that's what you give, $5. You're not going to give the $100. That's how the Ran says, that's how the Rashba says, that's how the Ramban says, that's how Tosa says. However, the Mefarish writes, no, you pay the full value of the Tevel. Even though the guy you stole it from only has Tovas Hanah, it's considered as if it's his entirely, and therefore you pay the full value. In Shidim Gbet says, he quotes both of these explanations, both of these possibilities, and he says, and he explains the second of the two, which is harder to understand. Why would you pay Dmei Kulo? He says, because sometimes a person will give his own truma to a Kohen who he's anyway supporting, his relative, his a dear friend or someone who's in need, and now that you stole his tevel, he's still going to want to support that relative or that friend, so he's going to need to come up with that same amount of produce from somewhere else. So it turns out that the ganav who stole the tevel may have actually cost him the full value of the trumas ha-maisos. That would only be grama, really, but since there is a direct financial hit, when we assess that financial hit, we can use grama to, what it's going to ultimately cause to assess the value of the financial loss, the fact that he's going to have to recoup it from somewhere else. The Avnei Nezer suggests that the machlokas over here is really machlokas rishonim in terms of what Tovas Hanah actually means. Rashi writes in Masechus Pesachim that Tovas Hanah means that the Yisrael who gives Truma and Meiser is actually allowed to be makabel a pruta from Yisrael Chavero in order to give the Truma to Ben Bito Kohen. Meaning two guys sitting next to each other in Shul, what are you planning on doing with your Truma? I don't know, I haven't decided yet which Kohen I'm going to give it to. Well, my grandson is learning in Kailil and he's a Kohen, and would you mind giving it to him? Here, I'll give you $5 if you give all your Truma to my grandson. So that's Tovas Hanah. Tovas Hanah means that you actually get paid to direct your truma to one particular Kohen. So if that's the case, the ganav who steals the tevel is costing that amount of money, because there actually is real money in it. It's whatever money you're going to get paid to direct your truma in that direction. But the Mefarish over here says that you give it to the Kohen or the Levi, that's going to be machzik lo tova, meaning it's not that there's actual money that changes hands, but the Kohen and the Levi who receive it are going to, if the Kohen happens to be a big posek, he's going to answer your calls. Meaning he's going to, or whatever, he's going to be helpful to you in whatever way he can. So that is not limited to the $5 that that's the whole value of the Truma. So maybe that, the Avnei Nezer suggests, is that same machlokas. But anyway, Rebbe says that if a person steals Tevel, you pay the full value. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Eino Mishalem El Dmei Chulin Shabo. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, you only pay the value of the chulin within the tevel that you stole, because the guy anyway wasn't going to be able to keep the trum and the meiser. So what is the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they arguing about? Whether you pay the full value or only the dmei chulin shemo? My love, b'hakam ivlgi. The Rebbe summer tovas hana'a mamon. It must be that Rebbe holds tovas hana'a is considered mamon, and therefore you pay even for the tovas hana'a. And Rabbi Yosef Yehuda summer tovas hana'a ain't a mammon. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says tovas hana'a is not mammon. So the guy's rights in the trumos and maestros is not a monetary right, so you don't have to pay him for that. So there you have it, machlokas tanaim, whether tovas hana'a is mammon or ain't a mammon. So when we have a stira from one line in our mishnah to the one line to the next in our mishnah, whether tovas hana'a is mammon or ain't a mammon, it's just a reflection of two shitos in tanaim. Says Gemara, lo, that is not necessarily true. The machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda may not be about whether tovas hana'a mammon or ain't a mammon. What then are they arguing about? If you steal tevel, do you have to pay the whole thing or not? Dekulei alma tovas hana'a ain't a mammon. Maybe both Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda agree that tovas hana'a is not mammon. Your right to direct truma or maaser to a particular person is not considered a monetary right. It's not considered something of monetary value. Ela hacha b'matan shlohor mukam iflugi. Over here, by stealing tevel, the machlokas is whether trumas or maasers that have not yet been designated are considered as if they already have been designated. And do we assume that Kohanim already have a monetary right in those matanos? That's the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you're only gonna pay the value of the chulin in the in what you stole, and not the trumas and maestros, because that didn't belong to the guy that you stole it from. Whereas Rebbe holds it's kol zman that you haven't actually designated the trumas and maestros. The whole thing is like chulin. We don't view tevel as some mixture of chulin and truma and maaser. No, it's until truma is designated, until maaser is designated, the whole thing is chulin, and therefore you're going to pay the full value of the of what you stole. So asks the Gemara, but wait, v'i tovas hana'a eina mamon. But if tovas hana'a is not considered mamon, mali hormu, mali lo hormu. Why would it make a difference if you designated the trumas or not? Just like if you designated it, the Yisrael has no actual monetary rights in it. So too, before you designated the Trumas and Maestros, he only gets Tovas Hana'a, because then Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mamon. So it turns out he doesn't really have meaning what value does he have? He has $100 worth of wheat that you know that he's only going to end up with $88 worth from. You know that that's what it's worth to him, because 10% is going to go to a Levi, 2% is going to go to a Kohen. So you know he's only ending up with 88% of it. L'chora, why would Rebbe hold that the Ganif has to pay him the whole thing? What do I care whether you consider the whole thing chulin? But how much is that chulin worth to him? It's only worth 88% of what it's worth, so that you should only have to pay that. So Ella, so says Gemara, both according to Rebbe and according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, really Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mamon, and really you should not have to pay for the full value of that which you stole. Hainu Taima de Rebbe. Why then does Rebbe say you have to pay for the full value of the tevel that you stole? Katsua Rabbanan Laganav Kiechi de Lolignov. We want to make a kanas on the ganav so that he shouldn't steal. Meaning, think about it from the ganav's perspective. He needs $100 worth of flour, let's say. So he can go to the store and he can pay $100 for the flour, and he'll get $100 worth of flour. Or he could steal someone's tevel flour, right? $100 worth. And he'll only have to pay $88 worth, and not $100. So he'll make a great deal. So he'll benefit. Instead of just going and buying like a mensch, he'll go and he'll steal it, and he'll come out on top, even when we are mechayv, even when we catch him and we make him pay. So we don't want the ganav to have to be a chote niskar to benefit from his geneva. See, even though meikar adin ein chinami, you should not have to pay the full amount, Rebbe says he has to pay the full amount, because otherwise he's going to be benefiting from stealing, and that's not going to discourage anyone from stealing. That is answer number one. The way the Ran, the Rush, and others understand, the Gemara now gives a second answer. That both according to Rebbe and according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Tovas Hana'a is considered mamon, and really Mikra Adin, you should have to pay the full amount, including the Dmei Trumas and Maestros. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Savar, but the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda holds the reason not to pay the full amount, including the Trumas and Maestros, is Kansur Rabban and the Balabayas, that the Rabban made a Knas on the Balabayas that he's not going to get fully reimbursed, because what's he doing with Tevel in his possession? You shouldn't leave stuff as Tevel, you should right away take care of it, take Trumas and Maestros, make sure it gets to where it needs to go. So as a penalty on the Balabayas for keeping something around as Tevel, we're not going to allow him to be fully reimbursed. So it's two different answers. Answer number one is that the assumption is that really you should only have to pay for the Chul and Shabbat, and the reason Rebbe says you have to pay more is a Knas on the Ganav. Answer number two is, no, really you should have to pay for everything. And the reason Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require you to pay for everything is a knas on the Balabayas. That's how most Rishonim understand. The Rashba, however, says that it's not mistaver that these are two answers in the Gemara. Where's the Va'omar Rabbi, some indication that there's some other answer. So the Rash says, you chalk it up to Nedarim. We're in Nedarim land, and in Nedarim land all the language is different than everything is unusual, and that's so he just chalks it up to that. But the Rashba says, no, even for Nedarim, come on, there should have been some indication that there was a second answer over here. So he says that it's mistaber that it's really one explanation of this machlokas. That according to the Tzad, that Bein the Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mamon, which is what the Gemara said, which is what the Gemara starts to assume. And Rebbe says, why do you have to pay the whole thing if Tovas Hana'a is Eina Mamon? A Knas to the Ganav. And then the Gemara turns around and says, you know, that makes a lot of sense. That will be Kones the Ganav. Right, and we're not going to be maimid the halacha on what it should have been, because it makes a lot of sense to be Kones the Ganav. Why doesn't Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda think it makes sense to be Kones the Ganav? So says the Rashba, that's what the Gemara turns around and says, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, because just like you should be Kones the Ganav, you should also be Kones the Balabais for keeping the Tevel. And therefore, we go back to the Ikar Adin. And the Ikar Adin really is that... The Ikar Adin really is that you only have to pay for the Dmei Chul and Shabbat. So it's not that the Gemara is saying one answer is that really you should pay the Dmei Chul and Shabbat and a Knas on the Ganav, they pay it all. Answer number two, really you should pay it all and a Knas on the Balabais. No, the whole thing is working with the assumption that really, the Ikar Adin is that you should only pay the Dmei Chul and Shabbat. Rebbe thinks the Knas on the Ganav overrides that, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda thinks, no, don't override it with a Knas on the Ganav, because just like you could be Kones the Ganav, you may want to be Kones the Balabais. That's how the Rashba understands the Mahalik in the Gemara. Okay, but all of that was one approach in trying to answer our stira in the Mishnah. Remember, the question was that we had a stira in the Mishnah whether Tovas Hana is Mamon or Eina Mamon. So answer number one was maybe it's Machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. We rejected it because Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda may have been arguing about something else. So answer number two, Rava Amar, Rava says Tovas Hana is considered Mamon, and nevertheless, when you asur a Kohanim from getting Hana'a from you, even though Tovas Hana is Mamon, they're allowed to get Hana'a from you. They're allowed to take their Truma. Why? Tovas Hana is Mamon. Why are they allowed to take the Truma? Shiny Truma. Truma is different. Dahainu Taima de Yitl al Karcho. The reason the Kohanim are allowed to take the Truma from you, Mishum to Truma lo Chazia ela le Kohanim. Because Truma is only Ra'oi for Kohanim. You're not allowed to keep it for yourself. And Vikivan to Ka'asi, the Misra Alayu, when a person takes a Nedah, the Kohanim are allowed to get Anah from him, since he's asking Kohanim from getting Anah from his Truma, Shavya Afra Bialma. We view it as if he's making the Truma totally hefker, as if he's making it like afar. He's mafkir the Tovas Hana'a that he has in the Truma. So Tovas Hana'a is Mamon, but he's giving up on that Tovas Hana'a by saying, all Kohanim are not allowed to get Hana'a from me. He's saying, and he can't keep the Truma, and if all Kohanim can't get it, and he can't get it, then it's hefker, then it's nothing. So then let the Kohanim go and take it. That's why the Kohanim are allowed to take the Truma, Bal Karcho, because they're not getting Hana'a from him, because he doesn't even have Tovas Hana'a in it. He has been totally mafkir that Tovas Hana'a. So that's Rava's Mahalich in understanding and being miyashev the stira between one line and the next in our Mishnah. Now a new Mishnah. So again, this Mishnah is going to shift the conversation to what happens when a woman takes a neder on her Maisi Adayim, that she asks her Maisi Adayim on other people. So Kodem Sheini Osa Al Pi Abba, Al Pi Avicha, Al Pi Ochi, Al Pi Ochicha. A woman who asks Hana'a from her Maisi Adayim on her father-in-law, her brother-in-law, Enu Yachal Ha'afer. The husband cannot be made for that neder because it's not a neder of Yinui Nefesh. So because the fact that she's no longer able to give Hana'a to them doesn't cause her any Yinui Nefesh. And it's also not Dvarim Shebeinu Levina. It's not between him and her. It's something that relates to other people other people that she may have a relationship with. So that's if she takes a neder that others are not allowed to get Hana'a from her. What if she says She'eni Osa Alpicha? She asks her Maisi Adayim on her husband. So now we have a machlokas tanaim, and the question is not just can he be mefer, but does he even need to be mefer? Is the neder chal? And if it is chal, can he be mefer such a neder? So the shita of the Tanakhama is eino tzarich lahafer. Since she's mishubedes to provide maisi adayim to the husband, there's no need to be mefer. The neder's not chal to begin with. Even though in Maseches Ksubas the Gemara says Yichali Ishta Lomer Lebayla Eini Nizonas V'Eini Yosa, that a woman is not necessarily Meshuba to give Maisi Adayim Lebayla. Maisi Adayim are Tachas Mizonoseha, that in exchange for the husband providing her Mizonos, she provides him with her Maisi Adayim, and she can say no thank you, I'm perfectly happy providing for myself, providing Mizonos for myself, and I'm going to keep my Maisi Adayim. But nevertheless, Kolzman that she doesn't say that, says the Ritva in Maseches Ksubas, Kolzman that she doesn't say that, Beferush, the neder is not going to be chal, because if she doesn't say that, I'd like to keep my Maisi Adayim and I'll provide for myself, then she is Meshuba to give the Maisi Adayim. So that's the assumption over here. So Eino Tzarech Lahafer, that's the sheet of the Tanakama. The neder is not even chal. She can't ask her Maisi Adayim on her husband. The husband has the rights to the Maisi Adayim. Sheet number two, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yafer, the neder is chal, but he can be made for it. Why? Shema Tadfal of Yosem and Arayla. Why was the neder even chal? After all, she's meshubedes to him. No, because maybe she'll do more malacha than the shear that the Chachamim had established to compensate for the mizonos, and that extra that she makes is going to actually belong to her. So if he's not made for the neder, he's not going to be able to get the hana'a from that odef of the Maisi Adayim. So therefore, he's able to be made for, because that becomes Dvarim Shebeinu Levina, meaning there is something that she's not meshubedes to him, that he may want to get hana'a from, that the neder is going to be chal, he won't be able to get hana'a from it, so now he's allowed to be made for such a neder. Third approach, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Yafer, but not because of the odef of the Maisi Adayim. No, really, the neder is not chal at all right now. Even the legabe hadafa, for whatever reason, the neder is not chal right now. Yafer shem yigreshena, because we're afraid that they might get divorced at some later time. Then the neder is going to be chal, because once they get divorced, she's no longer mishubedes to provide him with maisi adayim uti asura alav, and then she's going to be asur. She's going to be asuratim. What does it mean? She's going to be asuratim. Sometimes couples get divorced and then they rethink the decision and they decide to get back together again. Not if he's a kohen, but if they're non kohen. So they decide they're going to get back together again. But now the neder of Maisi Adayim is going to be chal as soon as they get divorced. He's not going to be able to get back together with her. He's not going to be able to remarry her. A person is not able to be married to someone that he's not allowed to get any hana'a from any malacha that she does, because that's not, it's impossible. It's an impossible situation. And therefore, he's able to be made for the neder right now, because it's Tvarim Shebeinu Levena. Not that right now it's Tvarim Shebeinu Levena. Right now the neder is not chal anyway. But it could one day turn into Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. The Ritva Maseches Ksubas raises the question, so why is the husband able to be made for the neder? The neder is not chal right now. So it turns out it's not Nidrei Yinui Nefesh, nor is it Dvarim Shebeinu Levena right now. So the Ritva quotes in the name of the Ravid that since as a result of this neder, it might lead to divorce, and then he won't have an Isha L'Sham Show, so that's considered Dvarim Shebeinu Levena, meaning he needs a wife to make his life easier, and this such a neder might lead to divorce. So right now it's already considered Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. There are other approaches as well, but that's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. So what we have is four sheetos, right? So we have, or three sheetos, what do we have? We have the Shenios Albicha, we have the Tanakama that says Eino Tzarech Lahafer. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the neder is chal because of the ha'adafa, so you could be made for that reason. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri says the neder is chal because of maybe what will be, because when they get divorced, and therefore he could be made for that reason. So three shittos. So says Amar Shmuel, halach Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri. We pass on Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri that the neder is chal, and the husband can be made for the neder on the assumption that maybe they'll get divorced one day, and then it will be chal. So so even though it's not chal right now, since it could be chal, he could be made for that eventuality. So says Gemara, wait, lemeimra de kasav Shmuel adam makdish davar shalol b'liolam. According to Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, you have to say that a person is able to be makdish something that doesn't yet exist, because otherwise, how could the neder be chal when she's being noder something that will have no impact until after they get divorced? She's not divorced. They're not divorced. That matzav of being divorced is not ba'olam, and the ma'aseh yadayim are also not ba'olam. So since Shmuel is paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, he's telling me that I'm gores even dvarim shelo b'liolam. That I think even dvarim shelo b'liolam are an entity, that they have to. They're an entity that needs to be dealt with. So that means Shmuel holds that a person can be makdish dvarim shelo b'liolam or a minhi. But I'll ask you a stira, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Ches that says hamakdish ma'aseh yaday ishto. If a person is makdish the ma'aseh yadayim of his wife, harezo osava ocheles, the woman is able to be nana for ma'aseh yadayim, and there's no kedusha on the ma'aseh yadayim because the husband can't be makdish his ma'aseh yaday ishto va'moser. And if the husband is makdish the noser ma'aseh yadayim, meaning that which she does more than the amount that the chachamim had held her responsible for in terms of producing ma'aseh yadayim, Rameir Omer Hagdish. Rameir says that Hagdish is going to be chal, even though it's not yet Bali Olam. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, no, there's no Hagdish. It's a Davar Shlo Bali Olam. You can't be Makdish, Maisi Yedei Ishto, even on the Nosar, because it doesn't exist yet. So, Omer Shmuel, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. And Shmuel says, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the Hagdish is not chal, even on the Nosar. Why not? Alma, Eina de Makdish, Davar Shlo Bali Olam. Must be because Shmuel is taking a stance that there is a machlokas tanaim about davar shlo b'liolam, and he's saying that the davar shlo b'liolam is a non-entity. You can't be makdish davar shlo b'liolam. So how could it be that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri in our Mishnah, who holds that a woman who asers ma'aseh yadayah on her husband, the neder is going to be chal, because if they get divorced, the neder will be chal, and therefore he could be made for right now. It's davar shlo b'liolam, and yet he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler that a davar shlo b'liolam is a non-entity. So which is it? So Stir and Shmuel. So Gemara is going to have three resolutions that Stir and Shmuel. Number one says Gemara v'chitema. Maybe you're going to try to answer the following. Ki kamar alach Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. When he said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, he's not trying to be machriya the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, in that the husband is able to be mefir nidre yishto, maybe they'll get divorced and the neder will be chal. No, al hadafu deka amar. All he meant to say is that since Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri assumes that the husband could be mefir the neder on the chance that they get divorced, and he doesn't say like Rabbi Akiva that he could be mefir the neder because of the hadafa that she produces right now, you see that Rabbi Yochanan rejects the concept of hadafa. That you see that the hadafa doesn't belong to the Baal, it belongs to the Isha. So when Shmuel passes on Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, he's really saying, I don't really pass on Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, I just pass on not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva thinks hadafa already belongs to the husband, and therefore he could be made for the neder because of the hadafa. No, I hold like Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri in rejecting Rabbi Akiva's hadafa idea. So says Gemara, there are better ways to say that. Meaning, if you're not really going to pass on Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri, then why would you say halach Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri? Rather, so lema halach Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri b'ha'adafa. You could have been more specific with one extra word. Just say halacha Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri ba'adafa. Inami halacha ketana kama. Or you could have just said that the halacha is like ketana kama, that the baal doesn't need to be made for, because the neder is not chal, because the after they get divorced is lo ba'al yolam, hadafa doesn't belong to him. Just pass it straight like the ketana kama. Inami ain halacha Rabbi Akiva. Or just say that we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva, that the hadafa issue is not an issue. Why on earth would you say halacha Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Uri? So that's a very unlikely mahalik. Meaning that mahalik, but that's all Shmuel meant, is that he's rejecting Rabbi Akiva's ha'adafa is unlikely. So Ella Amar Rav Yosef, a second approach. According to Shita Shmuel, a person cannot be makdish davar shelo b'liolam, and that's why he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler about being makdish ma'aseh yadei ishto. Right? You cannot be makdish davar shelo b'liolam. But shayni konamos. But in our Mishnah, we're not talking about making something hegdish. We're talking about nidarim. Nidarim are different than hegdish. Shmuel is going to be moda that even though you cannot be makdish a davar shelo bali olam, you're allowed to take a neder on a davar shelo bali olam. Holva adam oser perus chaver alav oser nami davar shelo bali olam alav. Think about it. Nedarim allow you to do things that normally you would not be allowed to do with hegdish. I'm not allowed to make something that doesn't belong to me into hegdish, but I can take something that doesn't belong to me and take a neder on it. So if I can take a neder on something that doesn't belong to me, even though I can't be makdish something that belongs to me, so I could take a neder on a davar shelo bali olam, even though I can't be makdish a davar shelo bali olam. So that's the answer. It's not about, you know, it's not that we have a stira in the attitude toward davar shelo bali olam. Davar shelo bali olam is a non-entity when it comes to hegdish, but is an entity when it comes to nedarim. I'm allowed to take a neder on davar shelo bali olam, just like I'm allowed to take a neder on something that's not mine. So says the Gemara, that doesn't really work either. Amle Abaye, Bishlama Adam Oser Peros Chavero Alav, Shrei Adam Oser Peros Sav Al Chavero. Why am I allowed to take a neder on something that doesn't belong to me? Because I can also generate an iser for somebody else on that which does belong to me. Right? When it comes to nedarim, I can take something that belongs to me and make it aser for somebody else. But Eliezer Davar Shelo Bali Olam Al Chavero, if you're going to compare a davar shelo bali olam to something that doesn't belong to me, so how can I aser a davar shelo bali olam on somebody else? I'm not allowed to aser that which doesn't belong to me on somebody else, even in the world of nedarim. All nedarim allows me to do is I can make someone else's stuff aser to me, or my stuff aser to somebody else, or my stuff aser to me. But I'm not allowed to make someone else's stuff aser to him. I'm not allowed to walk out of my house one day and say to my neighbor, oh, your car, I hereby take a neder, you're not allowed to drive it anymore. Well, I can't do that. I can't ask for something that doesn't belong to me on him. So if you're going to equate davar shelo bali olam with something that doesn't belong to me, so I should not be able to take a neder on davar shelo bali olam that covers somebody else, that asks for somebody else. The woman cannot take a neder on ma'isi yadeha, which is davar shelo bali olam, on her husband. So Eli, yes, a davar shelo bali olam al chaveiro, shariyin adam oser peros chaveiro al chaveiro, so that it just doesn't match up, it doesn't line up. So that's the way, at least that's the simple reading of the Gemara. That's the way the Ran understands the Gemara. Stipler points out that from the Gemara it seems that the reason you can't be makdish davar shelo bali olam is because you're not the bailim yet on it. Meaning, why are we equating a davar shelo bali olam with something that doesn't belong to me? Because what's the chisaron of davar shelo bali olam? Is that you can't own something that doesn't exist. And just like something that doesn't belong to me doesn't belong to me, something that doesn't yet exist doesn't belong to me. So that's what seems to be the Nakuda. That's what the Stipler points out. It doesn't seem that all Rishonim agree that that's the Nakuda. The Shittim Betzas and Mesachs Babasa quotes from a Rush that the reason a person cannot be Makhla Davar Shalom Bali Olam is because there's a lack of Gemira's Das and something that's Eino Ba'olam. And that's how he explains the Gemara over there, that even a person, if a person is not able to be mezakalu ubar, because the ubar is not be olam, he could be mezakalu ubar, that's his own child. Because it's a gemiras das issue, that if you have a woman who's pregnant, to the rest of the world, that baby is a non-entity. It doesn't exist yet, it's not in the world yet. But to the parents, to the father, that baby's already an entity. He's already thinking about, you know, how he's going to pay for tuition, and he's thinking about how he's going to, you know, the things that he's going to teach him and everything. So the baby's already an entity. So it's about Gemiras Das and Kiruv Das rather than about Bailus. Then a third answer, a third approach. Elam Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua. Really, Shmuel is moda that a person cannot aser with a neder, a davar shelo bali olam, on somebody else. Why can the woman aser ma'isi yadeha al baila? She's not asering ma'isi yadeha. But omeres yiktishu yodai le'osehen. She's saying that she's not being makdish the ma'isi yadayim. Ma'isi yadayim are not ba'olam. She's being makdish the yadayim klape that which they will produce. The yadayim ha'isnu ba'olam. And her yadayim are actually in the world already. They exist. And therefore we do not treat it like she's asering on her husband a davar shelo bali olam. Rather, it's as if she's asering something that already exists in his rishus on the husband. So the Gemara then is going to start a whole discussion. Why does that help? Isn't she meshubedes to the husband? But that's the third approach. So the first approach was, again, the Stira and Shmuel, about whether he paskins Dovr Shelo Bal Yolam as an entity or a non-entity, is that really he holds a Dovr Shelo Bal Yolam that what in our Mishnah he says that a Dovr Shelo Bal Yolam is an entity. Really holds it's a non-entity. And he's not really passing like Rabbi Yochanan, he's just passing not like Rabbi Akiva. Second approach was, there's a difference between Nedarim versus Hegdish. In terms of Hegdish, it's a Dovr Shelo Bal Yolam is a non-entity. In terms of Nedarim, it is an entity because Nedarim allows you more leeway. And the third approach is that in our Mishnah, we're not talking about a Dovr Shelo Bal Yolam. We're talking about a Dovr Shebal Yolam. We're talking about Yodayim La'osayen, which is considered a Dovr Shebal Li'olam. So Be'ez Hashem will continue that conversation with Yom Rahachi Kitcha, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.